Hi, I'm Chris, the co-host of True Believers, my weekly show about all things comics and loosely pop culture. I know that I was supposed to do an episode a couple of weeks ago, but I have been having massive technical difficulties, and honestly, I'm looking for a new host for our podcast. So maybe making the switch, hopefully everything stays the same, all the podcasting platforms True Believers is available on. I am relentless and I will tirelessly work to make sure they are still on all the same streaming platforms. So regardless of the fact that I know I definitely said I was going to talk about New 52, Young Romance or whatever, I don't want to say that I lied because I fully intended to do that at the time, but then I was having technology problems and I received an advanced reader copy of this book in exchange for a fair and honest review via NetGalley. So today I'm actually here to talk about DC Comics Presents No Small Scores, which is apparently part one of One Bad Day Catwoman, which the script was written by G. Willow Wilson, art, colors, and cover by Jamie McKelvey, letters by Clayton Cowles. Probably killed that second to last name, but you know, keeping on trucking. So obviously this story is about Selina Kyle, the most known Catwoman, aside from, you know, everybody's OG, Patience Phillips. People with taste and True Believers fans know. If you know, you know, you know. So this is a Catwoman story that doesn't actually feature a lot of cats, which is funny. Like, they show you, like, four cats, but every time I see Selina Kyle, I just expect to see, like, 40. Mm-hmm. So this story is about, this seems to be a younger Selina Kyle just starting out. I don't really know the premise of this One Bad Day series. I would love to say that I did research, but I think anybody listening could tell that was a lie. I searched on Goodreads to to add it to my currently reading list because I'm deadlocked. I'm deadlocked. There's no way to say this that doesn't sound petty. I'm deadlocked into a reading challenge competition with two other people, one of whom smokes me every year, and the other one is the only other person who reads enough books that I can feel validated by smoking them every year. Although we read really different books because almost all the books I read are like romance and fantasy, and all the books he reads, I guess they're fantasy books, but they're like long and terrible. I don't understand Brandon Sanderson, but on this person's recommendation, I actually read, I think, the Stormlight Archives. I don't know, whatever is a trilogy, and I don't understand it. But he seems to be pretty intelligent. He did an Instagram Live Zoom thing with Jim Butcher, and I'm really interested in the Dresden Files. Don't judge me. I don't know. And I was riveted. He's such a good talker, but like those books, if I ever wanted to like swim in molasses, actually no, I think I'd rather swim in molasses because that's probably somebody's fetish and I can get paid. I just never want to read one of those books ever again. But that has nothing to do with Catwoman. I'm sorry, girl. I'm taken away from your shine. So Catwoman, One Bad Day, No Small Scores. I was like, okay, so clearly this is about to be a small score, but this is one of those one small step for man and one giant leap for humanity things. So we're in the middle of a protest, housing is a human right, eat the rich. I'm like, okay, period. Keep Gotham affordable. Now that's a thing. I feel like there should never be a housing crisis in Gotham City. That sounds mean, but Gotham City is a pit. Like, I don't understand why. It's like my thing with New York. Cities that look like they're covered in piss, I don't understand why anybody would pay top dollar to live there, or like why it would be anybody's priority to live there unless you're already from there and then that's your home. But you know, I live in Texas, so maybe I'm used to wide open spaces, room to make your big mistakes, so it's not my place to judge. Let me just leave the people of Gotham City alone. But it's just the fact that they have a housing crisis. Who in tarnation is trying to gentrify Gotham City? What rich idiot is trying to move people? Who's trying to move condos in? That who with money who's not a native Gothamite, why would you move there? What? And then, you know, when rich people move into these areas, all they do is drive up the prices and then have the nerve to get... You knew the place had high crime when you moved in, okay? Gotham City is the kind of place that has to be patrolled by grown people wearing bat and bird costumes. That is absurd. No part of that is, like, logical. I mean, I know that it's fake, but I'm just saying, I would rather live anywhere else except for Metropolis. Because I'll say one thing about Gotham City, aliens don't be there. Unless they're dating the superheroes. They don't be there. That's like their one thing. So at its heart, this is a story about inequality and value. And not just on the surface level of the definitions of those terms. It's about really the haves and the have-nots. How people in power can ascribe an arbitrary value to something just because of its age or because it was created by a certain designer or because things are in a certain area or I don't know. It's the fact that people can place a value on your life. And to quote Selena herself, this is a very self-aware story. She says she's not trying to make herself out to be some sort of hero. She knows exactly who she is. A girl who was always staring through the shop windows at toys she couldn't have, who remembers what it was like to go hungry. And going from that to being a person in a position to take, in a very Robin Hood way and also in a self-serving way, the same way that people who have more are able to take from people who have little, she who has little can take a lot from people who have more, and there are very rarely any consequences because the main person who's able to put the super, super duper people in Gotham City in jail wants to bone. So it's like, there are no consequences for me. I'm not going to jail tonight. She fully, the item that really means very little in the grand scale of things, but it means a lot to her personally. She fully gets away with stealing it. Batman's there and he's like, girl, you shouldn't do that. Don't. I was gonna make a joke, but then it just, you know, when you hear too many like 50-year-old, and I mean like not in time wise, like middle-aged dad jokes, you get the urge to make one. I was going to, and then I decided that I was better than that. So as we're seeing into Selena's life, we're seeing how she gets down. We're seeing, you know, nothing. The best thing about this story is it doesn't reinvent the wheel. It's like a fun little Catwoman romp where, yeah, I don't like the word romp. It's like a fun little Catwoman adventure. I don't really like the suit. It's got a bunch of weird cutouts. Like, instead of just being a full leather suit, she's got these holes that are just... This is a weird thing that I'm concerned about, but they're like armpit holes, and that's like the only places that there are. And then she's got these gloves that go up about halfway through the hand. Halfway, like, it's got like her, she's got like half a hand out and like a full wrist. And I get that the point is that she has the Catwoman claws and like they cover up her fingerprints, but I don't know. I have actually seen the Halle Berry Catwoman movie, so I know that... No, I can get through it. I've seen the Halle Berry Catwoman movie, so I know it's fully possible for police to use lipstick technology to get a partial print off of a face and a lipstick stain from a glass and match them up. So I don't understand why this... I don't understand why this Catwoman isn't more careful about leaving behind potential armpit sweat and a palm print. Oh my god. That physically actually did pain me. It was very hurtful. So this is a story that doesn't reinvent the wheel. It's very fun. Apparently it is nominated for an Eisner Award or something. Yeah, it's a 2023 Eisner nominee for Best Limited Series. I don't know if that's the whole thing, the whole One Bad Day thing, or just this. But either way, just this is pretty cool. Selena discovers a new maybe enemy, maybe ally We get to see a lot of random places in Gotham City. Although with Selina, it's pretty much just art museum, rich people's house, art museum, rich people's house. That's all you really ever see in a Catwoman story. Art museum, rich people's house, art museum, rich people's house. Maybe the occasional bank, but Selina is, she's, if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you don't. But Selina is that girl. She mostly takes like jewelry and figurines and stuff because diamonds are a girl's best friend. Not me, but you know, some other girl. As we see her trailing this maybe enemy, maybe ally, and maybe getting her clock cleaned, we get to see, I don't know. Oh, it's just a good freaking time. I'm not saying it's going to change your mind, your thoughts on Catwoman, but I'm saying you're probably going to have some fun. Now, what I will say is that Batman does make an appearance in this, and I was very pissed off when they decided to change the Superman suit. I like Superman's little panties. I think they add so much to the outfit. It breaks up the blue with a little shot of red. I think it needs that. I think Batman is the opposite. I'm tired of Batman's little panties. He doesn't need his little Speedo. It really doesn't add anything. In fact, I would maybe suggest kind of like what they did in Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, where Miles Morales had like, he had some lines going up the side of the costume. Maybe Batman should go for that. I don't know. He's really just not beating the furry allegations with this because of his like Batman costume. And then I do think it is kind of like, they have to rework these things. Like, he's dressed like a giant bat. She's got on this like leather cat costume. It kind of screams like some kind of weird fetish to me. I don't know. One thing I really, my one nitpicky thing, I like it when Selina has black hair, and throughout the comic it looked like her hair is more brown, but, you know, I'm really just happy that she had the big kitty ears. As much as I just made jokes about them both being furries, I don't know. I don't want to see Catwoman without the little ears. I think it adds something. I think it's cute. I think it's really, it's like a part of the story that I just don't want to do away with, you know? Selina Kyle is that girl. I want her to continue to be that girl. I want to grow up in a world where that girl is celebrated, where she is beloved, where she is idolized. I don't care that she steals. That's my girl. I'm going to stick beside her. So, now that I have talked about everything that I actually had to talk about, I want to talk about something else that I read a little bit. Another book that I got an ARC of, which I actually have to finish and do a review of. I was going to actually review this book, but then I really hated it. So I kind of just decided I wasn't going to do that. It's called Clark and Lex, and it's one of those DC graphic novels, the ones that are aimed more like at kids. It probably would not be that bad, but I am a child of Smallville. I'm a child of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. I'm a child of Superman, the animated series. You know, I have a very, like, firm idea of what I think Superman's growing up life was like, or what I'm interested in participating in. I'm there. Well, and I've been reading comic books for like 20 years, but I'm pretty much there in how I want to see a young Superman depicted. And it just kind of looks like John Kent to me. I don't know. And also, I feel like he was very, I've only read a little bit, but he was very bratty. But I was also very confused because this is weird because I know I'm a black person. Like, that's a thing I know about myself. Tell me why they made his parents black in the comic. Like, he's still white, but his parents are black. And I was so thrown off that I'm literally, I was literally like shocked. I'm looking at them like, who are these people? He walks up the drive-thru to the Kent farm, and then he walks in the door, and I'm like, who's this woman? And I'm reading, and she literally says, I'm so sorry I had to miss it, but with three sick cows in the barn, I couldn't get away. Your father said you played well. And he says, thanks, Mom. And I'm like, Mom? And I'm wondering to myself, because me and my mom are both black, but I'm the same color as a pencil, is this what people think when I yell at her, Mom, in public? Because I'm fully looking at this woman. I'm like, Mom. And my thing is, how come every, without fail, almost all the time in comic books. I know it's kind of hard to gauge the ages of Black people, especially through a 2D medium, but how come they always show a woman looking like super, super young, and then you see a man with a James Jefferson? And yes, that is me conflating James Evans and George Jefferson, just so you know exactly what hairstyle I mean. I mean, he didn't quite have the full cul-de-sac of a James Evans, but it's a combination of that kind of baldness. And I'm just saying, if you guys were going to make Superman's dad Black, why didn't he have a low-cut season with the deep wave? I'm just saying. He couldn't be full bald. You know, Clark has a haircut. I'm like, sir, please just give it up. Why are you... No, why? And then they have, like, salt and pepper hair. I know it's absurd to care this much, but I find that I do. Anyway, as to why I didn't like it, I mean, I'm emotionally and logically, you know, there, just there enough to understand that this is a book for kids. I was reading it and I was like, oh, this is really boring. I'm still going to read it and write a review of the contents. But seeing as how I'm not a child, it's just not fair. I'm not like that lady who wrote that crazy ass review of Tristan Strong Punches a Hole in the Sky saying that I don't know anything about American folklore or Black people, and therefore this is a horrible book. I mean, I'm not a child, so this obviously probably wasn't going to be my thing. My one, like, gripe, though, it's a small issue, but there's no Pete and Lana in Smallville, and I know that they're kind of the constants of the Smallville era, so it's just kind of weird. The worst part is that Clark did something dishonest. And I'm like, stories about how you became who you are shouldn't really show you compromising your ideals for the sake of being portrayed as like a shitty, acting, rebellious little teen, tween. I'm not good at guessing the ages of kids. But, and then they introduced Lex Luthor. And because I don't know why Clark and Lex need to be best friends from childhood who grow up and then don't like each other. I don't know. As you know, I love Smallville, so it's like I can't even comment on that. My thing is, my one little bit of gender discrimination or gender norms, there's nothing I hate worse than seeing a man with a bob. So I'm seeing this teenage Lex Luthor with this bob, and it drove me nuts. I was like, are you serious? No! Yeah, besides that, there's really nothing. I just kind of wanted to talk about this because I was flipping through, and I was like, this could probably, if I had read this, maybe like, no, I read comic books, so. If I read this when I was, like, 7, this probably could have been a really good, like, springboard into me really liking comics. But my springboard, obviously, was that I really liked Archie comics. And then I really liked Superman anyway. And I watched Lois and Clark a lot, you know, in reruns. And then I got really into Smallville. And then, well, I read comic books then, too. I don't know. So... This could be a good path. I don't know. I think a kid would like it. It's brightly colored and it seems fun, but it's just not my thing. Again, I am fully an adult, so it was never going to be my thing. I just kind of want to talk about it, just to get that out there because that was the original focus of this video. I haven't watched or really read anything lately. There are a couple comic books that I'm waiting on to come out. There's this one that I've been trying to read called, it's like Money Shot or something, and basically the premise is that to fund their outer space travels, some astronauts have to start OnlyFans, which it's starting to feel like if you want to be an astronaut, that might be the way to go. You're gonna have to bone the aliens or something if you want to get into space. So I've been listening to a lot of other podcasts. I was thinking about doing an episode on Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse because, of course, I saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and I saw The Little Mermaid. You know I'm rooting for everybody Black, But I had a greater idea. I was thinking about ways to serialize the podcast, and to maybe move into more long form content with some shorter episodes in the middle as I transition over to a new podcast hoster. And I'm still, that's kind of up in the air. So I might do an episode on Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse just with that whole coterie of multiversal stories, because I'm really interested in the concept of multiverse, but I don't like a lot of the execution. But I really like Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I thought it was very fun. Very, very fun. I think it's funny how the two most popping multiverse movies that we've had in the past few years, despite all the multiverse movies, they both heavily featured spoilers, a bagel, of all things. And you know what? You know what's really funny? I hate bagels. I think they're gross. Was such a petty thing to throw in there. You know what? Bagels are nasty. I hate bagels. But you know, jokes aside, we'll really see how that shakes out. There was a point I wanted to make about the multiverse, but I honestly, I don't know where it is going. Outside of Spider-Man, like Miles Morales, the Marvel's multiverse will never do it for me. I prefer a good Elseworld above all. I don't need anything to be connected. I honestly don't want to think about that. It never gives what it's supposed to give. And that's just my personal opinion. And I've already committed to taking my hater hat off for the day. So, do I have any recommendations? Because I said I was going to try and introduce more segments, but I actually completely failed to do that. I'm currently reading this book called Did You Hear About Kitty Carr by Crystal Smith Paul. I've only read maybe 4% of the book. That's exactly it. I'm about to start rereading Kingdom Come. There is a book that I had planned to read called Moira's Pen by Megan Whalen Turner. She's the author of one of my favorite series, is The Queen's Thief. It's about this guy, love him to death. There's this book I got called DC's Greatest Events: Stories That Shook the Multiverse. Ironically, I'm really excited to read that because, as you know, I'm a DC Comics girly. That's just who I am, and that'll never change. And there's really nothing I want to plug, but this is kind of a plea out into the universe. There was this audio drama that I was listening to episode by episode, but I wasn't subscribed to it because it was a limited series and it was already over, and I only downloaded one episode at a time. I think you can kind of understand where I'm going with this. That part did not go well. I downloaded the episode that I had been listening to, and I deleted it by accident. So if you've ever heard of the story of a guy who, there's a guy who moved away from his hometown, and then some guy who really wanted to be just like him or something broke into and is squatting in or moved into his house. I'm only in like episode two, but he's leaving him voicemails. He's like, "Hey man, what's going on with your house? Why didn't you tell me?" But you kind of get the vibe that sir, I don't know you. So it's like, but then strange things are, there is something strange in the neighborhood, and I would really like to get back to listen to that. So if you know what's going on there, please feel free to email me. Please let me know on that. And also, it's an early plug, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on the next episode of Cape Corner. We'll see how that shakes out. So, that is all for this week's episode of True Believers. I want to thank everyone for all their support. And God willing, I will be back next week with something equally strange. Maybe not Young Romance New 52, because it was what it was. Sorrows, prayers. True Believers is available on all major streaming platforms, and we're a member of the Hall of Pods Podcasting Network, which has recently celebrated its first year of existence, alongside Cape Corner, SJW Comic Book Club, and the Fandom Optimist, and we can all be found in our link tree below. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what I read or watch, you can find and DM me, email me at number1truebelieverspod@gmail.com, or join our Discord. Bye.
Hit that like and subscribe, guys!
Okay, that's perfect.